Welcome to the Restoration Apostolic Church podcast. We are located in Winterville, right outside of Athens, Georgia, and are led by our senior pastor, Ed Walden. Our mission is to be a Book of Acts church in this modern world, to build a strong and unified church family, and to see lives saved and changed by the power of Jesus Christ. We hope that in listening today, you will be strengthened, encouraged, blessed, and restored.
One verse of scripture, and I'll let you be seated tonight. Mark chapter 11 and verse 24. While you're getting that, I'll remind you that Friday night at 7 o'clock will be the first night of prayer conference right here. Sister Flo Shaw will be the keynote speaker, and she'll take a little time and lay out what's on her heart. And then Brother Dave Henry will come behind her and preach the main message for Friday night. It's going to be a great and powerful time. Man, I know we've got things going on, things to do. It's a busy time of year. But if you can be here Friday night, you should be. God's going to meet us in this place, and we're going to hear a great, great word and feel a great presence. We believe God's going to do some miraculous things. And then Sunday also at 10 and 11, we'll be here as well. So invite you to be here. Bring somebody with you. Invite somebody to come to the Friday night and the Sunday services. It's going to be a great time. In Jesus' name. Mark chapter 11 and verse 24, so I can get to this and see what the Lord's going to do with this tonight. Jesus said, "Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them." I want to talk about my desire tonight. Let's pray one more time for the teaching of the word. Lord, we love you. Thank you for a wonderful presence. You're so precious to meet us here tonight, faithful to your word, faithful to your people. Let us hear what you're saying tonight, Lord. Speak to our hearts. Challenge us. Change us tonight, Lord. Encourage us, Lord. God, let us receive this word tonight. Let us receive it in the good ground in our heart. God, we're going to praise you for it in Jesus' name. And everyone said amen. Clap your hands real good to the Lord before you're seated tonight. God's good. God's good. You can be seated. Praise the Lord. My desire, as we head toward prayer conference, there are things that we desire to see. But I'll tell you this, that desire without any action following will only leave you frustrated. It will always keep that dream, that desire, that what you're longing for, it'll keep it right out of reach if you don't do something about the desire. There was in the scripture a woman that she would prepare, her and her husband, they would prepare a room for the prophet as he would stop by, and they made a place for him to turn in to sleep and to eat and to refresh himself. And so he wanted to reward them, and he told her, "The Lord is going to give you a child." And she said, I'm paraphrasing here, but she said, "Don't tease me. Don't be telling me this." You know, he said, "I'm telling you, you're going to have a child." And she did have the child, just like he told her she had this child. She was raising it and it was loving it. One day the child was out in the field with his father and he began to complain, my head. And he took the child to his mother and the child sat in her lap until he died. The woman laid him on the bed that she had made for the prophet, and instead of calling everyone to come and bury this child and to mourn and to grieve the loss of this child, she told her servant, "I need you to saddle up that mule and let's go find the man of God." Her desire was to have her son back. She knew that God was able, and that if she could just get to where he was, her desire caused her to take action. She was motivated by this need. She loved this child, and she did not want to see this be the end of his life. She wanted to see him grow and be part of her family, maybe start his own family. She had a lot of desires for the child, but her desire pushed her to get on this mule. She told the servant, she said, just start riding as fast as you can. She said, don't worry about me. I'm hanging on. Just take off and go. Her husband said, you don't even know where to go. She said, it'll be all right. My desire. Man, I wonder sometimes what we could see resurrected in our lives. If our desire, if we would be led to action by our desire. Sometimes we feel like having the desire is enough. Well, we must have desire. To be without desire, to me, is to just be lifeless. We must have desire, but if we don't act on desire, then we're frustrated. And if we don't act on desire, we're just living in a wonderland. We're just wishing our lives away. I wish we could see this. I wish we could see that. And if we would do what it takes, if we would act on our desires, if we would make a plan and take action on our desires, then we'll see what we're looking for. We're going to find what it is that we want to complete our life, to help us in our need, to make our lives better, to see the miracles of God that we want to see. I mentioned this in prayer last night that I've had people say, you know, what was it that the early church and even our elders and our grandparents, they tell us all these stories about these incredible revivals where miracles and signs and wonders were happening, and it was because they desired it, but it wasn't just a desire. They went after it. They said, we're going to go after it. We're not just going to say, oh, I'd love to see that, but we desire to see God move in our midst. We desire to see the miracles and signs and wonders. We desire to see our families and our children saved and things happening in our city. We desire a revival for the church we've started, and we want to see it grow and prosper. And so they began to pray, and they began to fast, and they began to seek God. And they put things aside so that they could make room for God in their life. They didn't try to just work everything around, you know, well, I'll squeeze God in where I can. But they just began to make room, a habitation for a move of the Spirit in their life. They began to pray and seek God. They began to ask and to knock and to seek. They began to move and operate through the desire that they had. Because when we have a desire, when we have that desire, we put some action behind it, we're going to see God do some things. And Jesus was telling them that since this is prayer conference coming up, he said, before he said, he didn't just say, I'm telling you, when you pray, he said, have a desire before you pray. Praying without desire is just empty words. If you just, well, it's prayer meeting, so I'm going to go and I'll get down and I'll say a few things. But if you don't desire what you're praying for, if there's not something pulling you and moving you and motivating you to get down and talk to this great God who loves us so much, this God who can do anything, this God who still works the miraculous, God who's still saving souls, God who is still pouring out His Spirit and touching people's lives, He's still healing the sick. Friend, He's still coming through, delivering people. God is still moving. But friend, we cannot be cold when we come to God. We can't be uncaring and uncompassionate and unempathetic when we come to God. We need to come with a desire, with a passion, with a fervency, and we need to spend time and not just say our little, oh, God, bless me, and then get up and go out the door, but seek God. Pray with an earnest expectation that God is going to come through. Start believing that God hears what you say. Jesus said, if you'll come with whatever you desire, come with a desire, pray and believe, and you shall have them. Pray and believe what you desire. Don't come praying for things just, well, let's see what God will do. Hopefully He'll do this. Don't come with a little nonchalant attitude, and well, if he does, it'll be cool. If he don't, it won't. Friend, come in there going, I'm praying to God, the God of the universe tonight, and I believe he can do anything. And if we would get back to the place where we know that we are the people of God, that we have been blood bought and redeemed and filled with his spirit, and he has told us in his word that if you will come with a desire and if you will pray, if you'll really believe what you're asking for, you will have it. And if we want to see God move in our midst on Friday night, then I'm asking you between now and Friday to get a desire and get down on your knees and pray. Get a desire and push the plate away one day and fast a little bit. Come in this house with your hands lifted up and your voice lifted up, praising and loving the Savior of this world. Come believing, come with expectation, come ready to receive from the Lord. Come with a desire and believe that he's going to move in your midst. Don't you love him tonight? Hallelujah. Come on, if we can just get it, I'm telling you, there's a lot of good churches and there's a lot of good places to go where you get a good, happy feeling. And that's all right. It's good. We want to feel good. But friend, I need more than just a smile on my face. I need more than just a pat on my back. I want to see him move. I want to see his glory. I want to see him move in the sanctuary. I want to see his power. I want to see him. I want to know him in the power of his resurrection. I want to see the gifts of the Spirit in operation again. I want to see that word of knowledge, word of wisdom, gifts of faith. I want to see it happening. But simply wanting it and doing nothing about it, I'll be frustrated and so will you. I'm tired of just retelling stories from the past. I'm ready for some new chapters to be written. I'm ready for some new things to be seen. I'm ready for some people that are first generation apostolic people that have not seen those things to see those things that we've told them about. I'm ready for someone to see these things happen, healings, miraculous healings happen right before their eyes. I could tell you many things that I have seen over the years, and it's not that they're not great, but I'm ready for you to tell a story. Something you saw in prayer, something that happened to you in the house of God, something that happened in your family. I'm ready for you to have that testimony. Desire. One man said that desire is the starting point of all achievement. Not a hope, not a wish, but it is a keen, pulsating desire that transcends everything. When you really desire it, you'll go after it. That woman desired for her child to be resurrected, and she went after it. The woman that had the issue of blood desired to be healed of her situation, and she went after it. She said within herself, if I may but touch the hem of his garment, I'll be made whole. But it ain't enough to just say it and then do nothing about it. So she made her way through the crowd until she touched the hem of his garment. Bartimaeus heard that Jesus was passing by and he was blind from his birth. But when he heard that Jesus was coming, he began to cry out, "Thou Son of David, have mercy on me." And while the crowd tried to hush him and silence him, there was something driving him. I want to see. I want my vision. I want to be like everybody else. I want my healing. I want my miracle. And he would not be silenced, but he cried out the more until Jesus stopped and came to where he was and said, "What will you have me to do that I might receive my sight?" And he healed him, and Bartimaeus was restored. His sight was given to him that day. And friend, it was because he refused to sit down on his desire. How many times before he heard of Jesus did he just sit and say, "Oh, I wish I could see"? He would hear somebody go by and say, "Man, what a beautiful sunrise today. Oh, I wish I could see. I wish I could see the sunset. I wish I could see the moon. I wish I could see my parents. I wish I could see my family and all the things that I know are beautiful in this world all this time. And all he had was an empty desire before he heard about Jesus. But now that he knows there's one that can bring that desire to pass, he will not be quiet. Oh, now that we know that there's one that can bring it all to pass, now that we know there's one that there's nothing too hard for him to do, now that we know that with him all things are possible, why would we get quiet? Why would we be silent? Why would we just sit down and do nothing when we know that he's the king of the universe? When we know that all power in heaven and earth was given unto him? When we know that we've been filled with the Holy Ghost, and after that we received the Holy Ghost, power was given unto us. Why would we be quiet? Why is the church sitting down and shutting up when they ought to be standing up and declaring the mighty name of Jesus? Woo! Hallelujah! Hallelujah! There used to be revivals that would go on for weeks. We don't even have them for a weekend anymore. All-night prayer meetings have turned into an hour. I'm not trying to scold us or be hard on us. It's just we've grown comfortable in this land of plenty. We've grown comfortable in this land where everything's at our fingertips. And so we've decided we'll just squeeze God into our hour. We'll squeeze him into our 10 and 11 o'clock. It's like we schedule him for an appointment. I'll see you at 10, Lord. Got to be out by 11. But these people would go. No clocks on the wall. Just go and start. And they would go until the Spirit released them. And they would be in church praying. Sometimes there would be people left in the altar. After on revival nights, they'd start at 7 o'clock, 7:30, and at 11 o'clock, they were still praying with people in the altar. And nobody was mad about it. Man, I wish this guy hurry up and get his victory because I got to be at work in the morning. They didn't care. They didn't care. I wish they'd hurry up. I got to get my kids home and get them into bed. I know many a parent that put them to sleep on the pew. And under the pew so that they could keep worshiping God and seeing God move. Desire is why they saw those things. I can tell you stories of healing so miraculous you'll think I'm lying. But it happened. A man by the name of Freddie Gray, they were having great revival with him and God used him. Miracles, signs, wonders, healings, and a man came up to him. I've told this story in here before. I'll just tell it again because it's so incredible. He came up. He had a tumor on his back. And he came up and his back was to the congregation. The man of God reached around him and put his hand around that tumor. It was about the size of a baseball. He said, "We're going to pray for this brother." He laid his hand on that man and started praying. And when they got done praying, the back of his shirt was just as flat as mine and yours. Right there in that service, God healed that, just like that. There's a sister that comes here, friends with my wife, Sister Rebecca. She comes on Sundays, and when she was a teenager, her and my wife and all those other teenage girls at the church there, you know what they did on Friday nights? They had prayer meeting. I know people like, really? Teenagers on a Friday night? Prayer meeting. And Sister Rebecca desperately wanted her hair to grow. And you think, well, that's kind of true. It wasn't to her, it meant something to her. Her hair just didn't grow. And she wanted it to grow. And so they were praying that night and praying about needs, and they were all holding hands together, and they began to pray. And the power of God just fell. They were shouting and worshiping and speaking in tongues and praying. And all of a sudden, Rebecca took off running out of that circle, and she ran to the restroom. And my wife and a couple of the girls followed her, and they said, "What are you doing?" And she said, "Look at this." And she reached around, and all her hair was about to the middle of her back. He said, "That didn't happen, Pastor." It did happen. It happened. Many witnesses to seeing it. But it was because of that desire to see the miraculous, to see God moving things. He said, "What? What was that?" That was for her. So God would show her. He showed her, if you will desire, whatsoever you desire, when you pray, believe it, and you're going to have it. It's going to come to pass, and you can have it. But desire, there's got to be some work put behind it. Something's got to happen. Excuse me, I keep opening my phone because I've got there was something I want to read. I meant to read this almost right at the beginning, but you know, even in this world, if you desire an education, it's going to take work. If you desire to advance in your career, it's going to take work. It took less than 10 seconds for Jamaican sprinter Usain Bolt to cover the 100-meter distance at the 2012 Olympic track and win the gold medal in London. It was actually 9.63 seconds. Those few seconds cemented his status as the fastest man alive. It's never been broken in the Olympics. He actually had a faster time than that, but it was not in the Olympics. It was 9.58. They said he was running almost 28 miles an hour at that top speed. Man, that's getting it. Fastest man alive. But the race was not won in those 9.3 seconds. It was won by hours and hours of practice, workout, weightlifting, special diets, coaching. It was all, that was the culmination of all that he had done. Because somewhere as a young man, he said, "I want to run. I want to be the fastest. I want to win. I want to go to the Olympics and I want to win. I don't want to just win. I want to be the fastest man alive." And so hours and hours, no telling how he wore himself out, broke his body down, only to build it back up, each time a little faster, each time a little faster, till one day it happened. Friend, it's going to take us some time. We're going to have to put the time in. We're going to have to put the effort in. We're going to have to do the things that God wants us to do. We've got to return back to some things that the first church did. When you read the book of Acts, where the church was born, and you start seeing what was happening, great revivals in cities being turned upside down, it wasn't just for that time period. That's the way it should be today. There should be revival and fires of revival all across the nation, not just around in other countries, but all around the world, in our country, in those countries, in our city, in other cities, on our campus. We don't just have to read about it happening somewhere else at another campus, but it can happen on our campus. And it can happen in our city, and it can happen in our homes and in our lives, and we can have all that we desire if we won't just sit back on our desire. Sometimes, I got such a great desire, and that just satisfies us. We've deceived ourselves into thinking that desire is the same as seeing it come to pass. But a desire is a longing for something. A desire is, like I say, it's not just some little fleeting wish, but it's a craving, a passion, a yearning for something. Desire, to me, is just like oil in a car. A car cannot run without it. But even when it has it, it's very important to check the level to make sure you're not running low. We need to check the level of our desire. Because it's easy when we first get that baptism of Holy Ghost and fire to be excited about everything, to simply believe everything, to just walk in with the faith of a child and accept that God's going to move. But over time, when life happens and situations come and trouble comes our way and the cares of this life begin to burden us down, it's easy for that desire to run low. It seemed like it was much easier to pray before. It was much easier to jump up and worship before. It was much easier to get up and get to church on time before, to not miss things. But now it's, well, I'm just tired. Oh, I'm so tired. Yeah, he was tired walking up that hill too. You know, and you say, that's kind of low, Pastor. It might be, but it's the truth. He was tired. He was in agony when he was in that garden praying, when his sweat became like great drops of blood. But he stayed and he prayed anyway because he knew where he had to go. And friend, if we would just could get back into earnest, passionate prayer like that and passionate walk with God, I'm going to make my life decision that I'm going to live for God. I know that you won't be here every time the doors opens. Things happen. I get that. But it ought to not be no big deal. Friend, it ought to pain us to miss sometimes. Because what are we missing when we miss? What are we missing when we miss? That's why you hear about these elders that they said, man, we didn't ever miss nothing. You know why? Because they knew every time the doors were open, something was going to happen. They said, I don't know what I'm going to see tonight, but I can guarantee you I'm going to see something. Something's going to come to pass. Oh, when you pray. And people are praying. But where is the desire? Where's the desire at? Praise God. Where is that longing and that craving? Desire is present. When desire is present and prayer and belief follow, things come to pass. But when desire diminishes, prayer and faith and service to God will diminish. When desire grows dim, so does the light. He said, let your light so shine. Oh, but if there's no desire, it's getting dim. It's getting dim. Where is our level of desire today? We're not just praying out of duty and obligation, but we're praying because we have a desire. Well, I'm praying because the Word says so. Well, we ought to keep the commandments, and Jesus said, when you pray, I believe He expects us to pray. But if I approach it like I'm praying because I got to, instead of I want to, instead of I desire to, how could you not desire to talk to God? What would ever make you not desire to speak with your Creator, your Savior, the King of Kings? Why would you not go to the one who can answer every prayer? What would ever stop you from going to Him and praying? Where is our level of desire? Put James 5 and 16. Confess your faults one another, pray for one another that you may be healed. Let me tell you, if you don't have a desire for me to be healed, don't pray for me. If I'm hurting in my body, would you pray for me? If you don't believe it's going to happen, then don't pray for me. If you don't like me, then don't pray for me. He said, pray for one another. We're supposed to love one another. But if you don't love me and you don't desire, if you'd rather see me drop dead, then don't pray for me. Just don't waste time. Come on. Does that not make sense? The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Can there be fervent prayer without desire? I think not. It can't be effectual. It can't be passionate if there is no desire. But if there is a desire, because when I pray for you, I want to see God move. Not so I get a gem in my crown. Not so I get a pat on the back. God's going to get the glory. But I want to see you blessed. I want to see God's children blessed. And I want to pray and say, God, heal them. Bless them. Provide for them. Deliver them. Whatever the need is, but pray it fervently. We cannot pray fervently without desire. And the scripture in James 5 and 17 talks about Elijah. See, sometimes we think, I'm just a man. I'm just nobody. We discount the quality of our prayer because we're just human after all. But the scripture says, and I'm going to read this. This is the amplified version of this. And I didn't give this to you, sis, so you don't worry about it. You just listen to me. James 5 and 17 says, Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. He had the same physical, mental, and spiritual limitations and shortcomings. Elijah was human after all. The King James says he was a man of like passion. What that means is he was like us. He struggled. We know Elijah struggled. He wanted to die. He ran. He hid in a cave after he did a miraculous work, but he was terrified of the voice of that wicked woman Jezebel, and so he ran and he hid. And he said, now God, it's enough. Just let me die. He had the same mental and spiritual limitations, shortcomings that we have, but he prayed intensely. He prayed intensely for it not to rain. And it did not rain for 3 years and 6 months. He was a human just like you and I, but he didn't let his physical limitations, his emotional limitations, stop him from believing that God answers prayer. And all of us struggle, and all of us are dust, and all of us try to do our best every day, and we repent every day. There's none righteous, no, not one. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. We have to pray and repent, and we know sometimes that we miss the mark, but that doesn't stop my belief that God is able to forgive me and restore me, and still that God is able to do what I ask. If I pray with desire, if I pray fervently, if I believe what I say, it's time to pick up the mantle that the elders have dropped. They dropped them that they would fall on us, and we let them hit the ground. And it's time to pick them up and put them back on. It's time to pick up those mantles of prayer and fasting and seeking God. It's time to pick up the mantle and say, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm not ashamed of being filled with His Spirit. And I'm not ashamed to stand up and say that God can do anything, that God loves me and that He loves you and that He loves this world and that miracles are not over with. The time of the miraculous is not done. God still desires for His people to cry out to Him in faith. But I cannot live above the level of my desire. Have I let my desire grow cold? Have I let the level run low? Have circumstances or the passing of time caused me to settle for less than what I once desired? They used to preach it all the time. Don't live beneath your privilege. Boy, I've heard so many older ministers preach that. We live so far below our privilege. We're supposed to be above only and not beneath. We're supposed to be in heavenly places with Christ. We're supposed to seek those things that are above. Everywhere God is trying, if we humble ourselves, He will lift us up. Over and over again, God is saying, I'm trying to put my people on high. If we sow sparingly, we reap sparingly. Where is my desire? Am I using my talent or am I burying it? Where is my desire? 10 virgins. All desired to go to the marriage feast. 5 took oil in their lamps. 5 didn't. 5 had a desire, but they also had faith and works to go along with it. And 5 just trusted that being there was enough. I mean, they're pure after all. But when the midnight cry came out, they had no oil for their lamp. And the door was shut while they were trying to fix what should have never had to be broken. They should have known, if you got a lamp, where's the oil? We've got this treasure in earthen vessels. Friend, come on, somebody. We've got this vessel. Where's the oil? Come on, somebody, get with me. Where's it at? What's in our vessel? What's in our house? Oh, a woman, her 2 sons were going to be taken away by the creditors. And she called the man of God, what do I do? He said, what do you have in your house? And she said, I don't have anything but this little jar of oil. He said, then go and borrow vessels. Not a few. Don't get 1 or 2. Borrow as many as you can borrow and bring them back. He didn't tell her what size to get. I don't care if it's a Dixie cup or a rain barrel. He said, get anything that can hold the oil. And when they brought all these vessels in, she took that one thing of oil and started pouring. And it filled the little one, and then it filled the rain barrel, and then it filled the gallon, and then it filled the 5-gallon. And somehow there was still oil in the vessel. And she kept going and kept going and kept going till there were no more vessels left. What she had was enough to satisfy her desire if she would use it. And if we would use what's in this vessel, we're going to see our desires come to pass. He said, take this oil, sell it, pay off your debt, and live on the rest. And her and her sons not only got free from prison, but they had money to live on. God didn't leave them, get them out of prison to leave them broken, homeless, but He gave them a bonus. He let their cup run over. I'm telling you, God is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that I ask or think, but it's according to the power that works in us. Where is our desire? Where is our desire? It's got to be for things above and not the things beneath. I can't settle for this world. I can't settle for the things that are in this world. It's not what God wanted for His people. He said, I know the thoughts I think towards you. Thoughts of peace. And He said, I want to give you an expected end. He said, I've got things I desire for you. And we read the scripture last night. If my people that are called by my name, if they will humble themselves and pray, oh, and turn from their wicked ways, seek my face, then I will hear from heaven and I will heal their land. God is just waiting. He's setting on go. He's ready. He is ready to heal this land. He is ready to bring revival in this land. He is ready. The Bible says that He goeth throughout the whole earth wanting to show Himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is perfect toward Him. Oh, where is our desire? Where is that desire? Don't let disappointment diminish it. I know we get disappointed sometimes when things happen in this world, things happen in this life. We go through things and it's disappointing. We wonder why. God, why does this happen to me? We've all been there. I'm doing my best. Why me? It's because it's just life. Time and chance happens to us all, the scripture says. It rains on the just and it rains on the unjust. We got to stop looking at rain as a bad thing. Without rain, there's drought. Without rain, there's famine. Yeah? Without rain, there's death. Oh, but we need the rain from heaven sometimes. We get upset at it because it rains out our parade, rains out our ball game, rains out our picnic, rains out our family fun. We'll go, oh, why the rain? But friend, we need the rain. I can cancel a ball game. We need the rain. I can cancel the fireworks show. We need the rain. And friend, we can cancel out a lot of things. We need the rain. We need the rain of the Holy Ghost falling down in our midst. We need the rain of the anointing falling down on God's people. We need the rain of His glory coming down in our midst. Hallelujah. There's some things we can just put off so we can let God reign on His people. We need that rain. I'm trying to be mindful of the time, and I ain't even got off the first page. I ain't even got off the first page. But I wanted something to stir us before this weekend gets here. I wish the whole church was here. I do. I wish they were all in here, and hopefully they'll go to the podcast and listen to this, and it'll inspire them. Because we need to come in here on Friday night with a desire to see God move. We need to pray with a desire for Sister Shaw and for Brother Henry to be anointed and used like never before. That God would just use these vessels like never before to bless the people of God. Hallelujah. We've got to have that desire in our heart. Brother George, if you want to come to the music, it'll help me come on down. You can stand with me. Because I'm not going to even just jump into the rest of this. C.S. Lewis said this. He said, if I find in myself a desire which no experience in this world can satisfy, then the most probable explanation is that I was made for another world. We are just passing through. There's nothing in this world that can compete with what God can do. I realize that God created us to go to another place. Jesus told His disciples very plainly, I've gone away to prepare a place, and where I am you may be also. I'll come back and get you where you can be with me. We know that. The writer in Hebrews said all these, this great cloud of witnesses, they desired another country whose builder and maker was God. I have a desire to go there. There's a spirit that lives in us, the spirit of Christ. And so if that spirit that raised Him up dwell in you, then it's going to raise you up one day. There's a yearning inside. There's another place. But right now we're here. And so I don't want to just desire heaven, because God left us here for a little space of time to work. He left the church here for a space of time so they could be the light of the world and the salt of the earth. But the scripture said of salt, if it's lost its savor, you know what savor is? Desire. we're the salt of the earth. And if we've lost our desire, we lost our savor. Because if the world can't see that we desire what we've got, why would they want it? But I want to be like David, who said, my heart panteth after thee, like the deer panteth after the water brook. He said, I long for you, God, like that deer in the wilderness. He's been running. He's been hounded. He's been hunted. And now he needs something to survive. And he's looking for that cold water, that refreshing water. He's the living water, the fountain of living waters. I desire him more than anything else. More than anything, God, you are what I want. More than hobbies, more than careers, more than relationships, more than anything else, God, I want you. And the scripture says that God would give us the desires of our heart. I've got to seek him. If we want to see, now if we're content to be a great church with a lot of great people that are friendly and just love each other and hang out together, have good music on Sundays and go out to eat together, if that's all we want, well, we've reached our goal. But if we want to see change, and if we want to see God move, then we've got to get that level of desire up, because we're never going to move past our level of desire. Desire will keep you where God wants you to be. I've quoted this before, but a dear minister friend of mine, he's been passed away several years. He passed away in 2015. But preaching one year, he said something. I wrote it down just immediately in the front of my Bible. He said, without desire, something from this world or something from your past will pull you back. But desire will keep you on the path. Desire will keep the cross on your shoulder. Desire will keep you in the footsteps of Christ. Desire will keep you going forward. Desire will keep you on the straight, narrow. And desire will walk you right into the promises of this mighty God. Any good? I wonder, for just a moment before we just open up the altar, if we could just lift our hands for a moment. Just close our eyes and lift our hands. Receive what the word of the Lord is tonight. Let it challenge you right now. Let it make your flesh uncomfortable for just a moment. Come on, tell that flesh, you're going to have to get out of the way. You're going to have to decrease so Jesus can increase. I'm going to lay some things aside. I'm going to put some other things on the back burner, so I can pray and read and study and be in the house of God, so I can get back where I need to be with the Lord. I want to pray with passion. I want to pray with fire. This is my desire. This is my desire. It's my desire. Hallelujah.
Thank you for listening to the Restoration Apostolic Church podcast. We pray that you have been encouraged and changed by what you heard today. To keep up with RAC, you can follow us on Facebook and Instagram. You can also visit our website at restorationapostolic.org. Be blessed in Jesus' name.